Jokowi, Kufumi, oh, give me I myself.
This, we have chosen this time to come in this place because we know that you have promised that where two or three are gathering in your name, you'll be among them. Lord Father, as you descended every evening to come and commune with your children, we have come this place because we know that it's a place where we are going to meet with you. And meeting with you, Lord Father, we've never seen anyone coming to meet you and leaving the place as he came. Lord Father, those that came sick went healed.
Amen.
Those that came in need Hallelujah. Went with a request granted. Those that came with heavy burden, they went light and no more burden on them. That's the reason why we've come tonight, Lord Father. Because you know that we didn't come here to meet with somebody. We didn't come here to see each other.
Yes, Father.
There are better places than this where we can meet and talk about everything we can talk. But we can because we know that this place has been consecrated to your name. So that each time your people can come down, come here, humble themselves and cry unto you, you can hear and provide their needs. Heal their lands and look at every request that's been presented to you, Lord Father, and grant it, Lord. We come this evening, Lord Father, committing everything that will be done in your hands. The song, the singing of the song, the prayer that will be lifted up to you, the request that will be lifted up to you, the preaching of the word, Lord Father. We didn't come to hear anyone. We didn't come to hear a man, but we came to hear straight from you, Lord Father, because we know that your words are spirit and life. Where else can we go? Because you alone have the words of life. That is why why we've come tonight, Lord Father, humbling ourselves before you, knowing that as your word will come, you will be healing every heart that's in thee,
hallelujah,
that's broken. You will be the comforter. That's why we commit ourselves in your hand. Bless us. Those who couldn't make it tonight, Lord Father, we remember our brother David as he can't make it for work, Lord Father. And there are many others who couldn't make it for genuine reasons. Lord Father, we commit them in your hands, knowing that wherever they are, your blessings will be with them. And if you give them another chance to be in our midst, we will be lifting and praising your name. Bless us as you commit this service in your hand, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's sing that song, How Great Is Our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee our great. How great is our God. How great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee our great. How great is our God. Hallelujah. Next verse. Oh, the splendor of the King. Oh, Lord, the majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. Absence of and darkness dark. Oh, rejoice! And troubles are his voice. And troubles are his voice. Our great is our God. Oh, sing with me, our great is our God. And oversee our great. Our great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee our great. How great is our God. Yes, you is in his hand, beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. What a great God. Oh yes, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb. Oh, our great is our God. Oh, sing with me, our great. How great, how great, God to be. I'm with our one, I'm with our one. Oh Lord my God,
oh Lord my God, when I am worship one, sings my soul, my Savior God to me. Oh, how great thou art, how great. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Led through the world, and from the days I wander. Hear the bird sing sweetly in the to me. Oh, how great thou art, how great. When sings my soul, when sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sing that song, Eloi, Elohim, amen. We long to worship you, hallelujah, amen. Eloi, Elohim, how we long to worship you. We love to worship.
soul. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's guiding me faithfully to overcome my trials. Hallelujah! Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. For something keeps holding me.
Oh, the trials of this world. Hallelujah.
Oh, the trials of this world. We're getting stronger. The pull I felt was more than I could bear.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see Him. Oh, to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. For something keeps holding me.
Hallelujah.
Where's the lake before His temptation? A great desire to steal away my faith. Oh yes, but I have found in times a revelation. The strength I need to keep me by His grace. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly. Jesus is holding me. Well, something keeps holding me. Something keeps holding me. Giving me every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly. For Jesus is holding me. He's a reality. He's a reality. For Jesus is holding me.
Mr. Saints, prayer request. Let's remember this one tonight, Brother Amen. David Jr. But D, he's at work. He started work today, so he can't be here. So sometimes we pray and people get jobs and we have to pray because they're not at church. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. But we're really glad for him and the Lord bless him. God bless you, saints. Greetings to Sister Verka who's back. God bless you, sister. Brother Goran as well from Croatia. God bless you, brother. Welcome back. Let's open James chapter 5. Let's get a thought before we come to prayer this evening. Let's look at James chapter 5. Let's think of this thought. The power of preparation. James chapter 5 verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Amen. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms.
Hallelujah.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up.
Amen.
And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it unto us. Bless our meditation. Bless the thoughts of our heart. Quicken us in prayer. Bring us to yourself. Pray for D that you'd bless him upon this night. Grant him favor. Quicken him. Grant him mercy, Lord, that he may be at the meetings next week. We pray. Open the way for him as we thank you, Father, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's be seated. Let's just think of this thought for a short time before we come to pray about the power of preparation. And I just wanted to say it right from the beginning that there's nothing that has the power of preparation like prayer. There's nothing that can prepare you for anything the way that prayer can. And without prayer, as a believer, you will never fully be prepared for anything. No matter what it is that you're facing up to, no matter what the circumstances may be that you're entering into, without prayer, you can never be prepared. Prayer is such an important part of the spiritual armor of a believer that until a person really knows how to pray, you'll never really know fully how to overcome in your experience. And it's one of the most important things that somebody needs to know. If you look at anything in your life or anything in the church, anything of lasting spiritual value, you'll find that prayer played a big foundational part of that. You know, if you look at any long-lasting blessing that you received inside of your life, you'll find if you trace it back, a big element of the preparation for that blessing was prayer. And you'll find that anything which you do as a believer without that foundation of prayer, you can get emotional, you can get involved in this and that, you can have a temporary shower of blessing, but the real, real blessing comes, the long-lasting effect comes only when prayer, when that particular, whatever it is that you decided, the decision that you made, the act that you did, the step that you took, if that's been born and has been raised in an atmosphere of prayer, you'll find that's going to last. It's going to stand the test of time. And you look inside of your spiritual diary, you see back in time and see those things that have been recorded, those stepping stones, those milestones inside of your Christian experience. You'll find whenever you really had some season of blessing or something had raised you from one place to another, or those junctions, or those places where you put a stake down in the ground, those from that time kind of situations, you'll find it was always prayer. There was always a prayerful condition inside of your heart. And if you take it back to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find it is exactly the same with him. Is that Jesus was always successful spiritually. And it was because he was always in prayer. Now, before he approached anything, I've spoken once before about those different junctions in the ministry of Jesus. But you'll find that Jesus, no matter what situation you find him in, he was always in prayer. And more so when he was approaching something that was critical, when there was an important decision that needed to be made, when there was a certain junction in his ministry, when it was an opportunity to step up to the next stage in the usefulness in the hands of God, whatever it was. Any decision, you go and trace inside of your Bible and you'll find Jesus was always prayerful at that kind of a time. Though he was God, though the prophet says he was the God of heaven, but when he came down and walked in the days of his flesh, now he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and he showed us the way to do it. And he would never take any major decision. He would never enter into anything without spending a lot of time in prayer. And it should be like that with us as well. Whenever you come to seasons, when you sense there's a potential, whenever you sense there's a divine possibility in the season that's laying before you, never presume. Never venture into that season just saying, well, now the Lord's promised that he'll be with us. The Lord's going to bless these meetings that are coming. That's not the approach that Jesus took. That's not the approach that he wants us to take. Whenever you sense there's a divine possibility for blessing, there's a divine possibility that the Lord can take you from where you are, maybe to the next stage in your experience. Whenever you see the sons and daughters of God are gathering together under the plan and the program of God, never presume. Never leave it to other people to pray for the blessing upon those meetings. Never just enter into those kind of seasons or situations, just living your normal kind of a Christian life. Because God, before He blesses people, He always gets them into the spirit of prayer. And the spirit of prayer, we've said it before, the spirit of prayer is an evident token that God is going to bless. Because before God blesses His people, He pours the spirit of prayer upon them. Because God knows one of the prerequisites to really blessing His people, without people getting puffed up because of that blessing, is the spirit of prayer. Because when a person's laying themselves on the ground before the Lord and seeking His face, and you know they're in the spirit of prayer and the spirit of supplication, the spirit of grace is upon them, they've got the burden of prayer. The Lord can bless a person when they're in that spirit with great blessing, great authority. It's not going to damage them, and it's not going to damage the people they have influence over. They're going to be able, because of that condition of prayer, to handle that blessing the right way. And that's why before the Lord will pour Himself out or do something for people, He'll always stir them up to pray. Amen. Prayer is such a prerequisite about these things. And you'll find it with Jesus. Whenever anything came where there was going to be a conflict, an assault upon His humanity, because there was nothing that could touch His soul. Amen. But whenever the devil, he knew there was coming a season of conflict, he's about to be baptized. He's about to go now into the great temptation in the wilderness, the great conflict with the enemy. This conflict's going to be against His humanity, not against His deity. Whenever Jesus would be entering into a season where there'd be a strain put upon His humanity, when there would be strain put out because of conflict in that kind of a realm, He would always take Himself to special prayer. And that's why He fasted 40 days. And He went and He separated Himself in prayer before He went into that great conflict in the wilderness. Because He knew this was Him really entering into the fullness of His ministry now. It was a junction now. And He sensed this was an important season in His walk, an important season in His calling. It was an important season. And so, you know, He had a discernment, He had a sensitivity inside of Himself at those kind of times that He would separate Himself unto prayer, to go and seek, you know, a special communion, a special leadership, a special guidance, a special kind of communion with the God who dwelt inside of Him. And saints, if that's what Jesus did, it'll be exactly the same as us. And that's why before He went to the cross, which was the greatest assault upon His humanity, He went to Gethsemane first. And He prayed earnestly. He agonized in prayer when He was there. And that was the power of preparation. He knew the power of preparation doesn't come through just listening to the messages. The power of preparation doesn't come through just reading your Bible. But the power of preparation, those things are required, but it needs special times of prayer in order for those seasons of listening to the message and those seasons of getting yourself in the Word, in order for those things to minister the very things that you need to overcome and whatever that junction is that you're coming to. So whenever you sense there's a possibility, like Samson did, when Samson sensed there was a possibility, once again the prophet says, what did he do? He prayed. That was the very thing that he took himself to do. He prayed earnestly. He prayed desperately. He prayed with all of his heart because he sensed something in the heavenly places that there was a possibility. There was the potential there for something to take place. And we know that potential, the definition of potential is something that has capacity to exist but doesn't yet exist. That's what potential is. So when you sense there's a potential for blessing, a potential for an experience that you've never yet had, but you're sensing there's the capacity, there's potentially the opportunity for this to take place, which has never taken place before, friend, get yourself in prayer. And the Lord will quicken you in prayer, and the Lord will lead you in prayer, because He's trying to prepare you for the blessing that He wants to pour upon you. But friend, don't just live the normal kind of life in those kind of junctions. Don't just offer your normal kind of prayer or your normal kind of spiritual sacrifice in those kind of seasons. In those kind of seasons, heaven calls you and anoints you. And if you'll just yield yourself on those kind of a seasons, you can sense it inside of your soul that it's like heaven is brooding. Heaven has come low. There's a certain access to something. There's a certain feeling inside of your soul that if I seek Him now, I'm going to find Him. But friend, it's only prayer that can do it at that kind of a time. That's how the prophet says, we know the quote, well, healing of Jairus' daughter. He says, we find in the previous chapter where the Son of God spends so much time in prayer. And if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in Him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Friend, but in this kind of an age, we're getting into a real intellectual age. It's far easier to just spend time in the Word. It's far easier just to spend time in other things. But the real, real thing that we need to really, really go against the flow and fight against the prevailing conditions is for the spirit of prayer. Amen. That's the real requirement that we need. We have youth meetings coming up next week. Now, you may be at junctions inside of our lives, decisions that need to be made. Let's follow in the bloody footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whenever He would come to those seasons and those junctions, let's do what He did. He would give Himself to special prayer. Though He was the Word made flesh, He wouldn't just rest in that, but He gave Himself to prayer. And even in His baptism, it says in Luke 3:21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. He wasn't just entering into baptism in a form of baptism. He wasn't just doing it because it was the thing that needed to be done. If Jesus was going to do something, He wanted to make sure that He was in the spirit of what He was doing. Because that's where the blessing comes in. The blessing doesn't come in just by keeping the form of something. You know, it's time for us to go to church. It's time for us to go to the prayer meeting. It's time for us to go to the youth meeting. No, it's good to do that, to go. But the key to blessing, if you really want the blessing to come down, is you need to enter into the spirit of the thing that you're doing. And there's no way you can enter into the spirit of something without prayer. It just doesn't work. You cannot enter into the spirit of something without really, really prevailing and overcoming over yourself. Amen. So that the spiritual realm, the spiritual element inside of you takes a preeminence once again over the mortal, the natural element. And then now you can enter into the spirit of what you're doing. And whenever you enter into the spirit of it, friends, there's no power or blessing in just keeping the form of something. That's why so many people are baptized, but there's no spiritual power or blessing that comes after that, because it's just a form. You know, you never went and really got into the spirit of what you were doing and followed it up after the event, you know, so that you could really receive the fullness of the potential that was there. Because He's given His promise, He's given His word, that if you repent and you're baptized in My name, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So the potential is there, the blessing is there. What's the missing element? Not getting into the spirit of what you're doing. Amen. Just following it through, just as a natural kind of a thing. Why is it we come to church so many times where the potential is there? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, in My name I'm there in the midst. And we come and we go and we're no different. And we never received of the potential. What was potential at the beginning of the meeting stays at potential at the end. We never receive of the potential because we haven't entered into the spirit of what we're doing. That's why the prophet says, don't do the act first. Get in the spirit first. Then do the act, and then you'll see the results that will follow that act. It always works like that. The blessing doesn't just come through obedience. The full blessing comes through prayerful obedience. Because you can be obedient to something, but your heart's not in it. You can do something because, you know, I think I better do this. You know, the young people, they can have that attitude to say, well, everybody else is going to be going to the meeting. You know, I suppose I better be there. You know, I don't want people to be chasing me up or people to be asking me, why didn't you come along to the youth meetings? No, you don't want to enter into something like that. It's going to be very hard to expect a real blessing to come from that kind of an approach, that kind of a preparation. But if you would start praying now, if you haven't started praying, as we come to prayer this evening, if this could be the real starting point for your preparation for the meetings next week, and then you get up tomorrow in the morning and you continue to build up that faith, build up an expectation for something, it's absolutely impossible for you to go to those meetings and to come back the same. God will bankrupt heaven, the prophet says, before He fails to pour a blessing on you and fulfill your word. If you've gone and prepared yourself in that kind of a way, if you're meeting together under a divine expectation, a quickened expectation inside of your spiritual realm, Do you think God will stir up an expectation inside of you and then not meet that expectation? The Bible says He'll give you an abundance. Yeah, He'll do abundantly, an overabundance of what you could even ask or think. But we've got to prepare ourselves in that kind of a way so that we're in the spirit of the things that we're doing. Not just doing something because it needs to be done. And not doing something just because people are expecting us to do that thing. There's no blessing in that. The blessing is when you get in the spirit of what you're doing. Because when you get in the spirit of what you're doing, it means you're doing it with all your heart. And God can never bless you in something if your heart isn't in it. Because a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. But when your heart is in something, even if you've got your failings on the outside, even if you can't really outwardly fulfill the things that your heart desires to do, God looks upon your heart. God's not going to meet you and bless you according to the outward things you do. He's going to bless you according to the attitude of your heart. Amen. And if your heart is really in something, it means you're in the spirit of what you do. And Jesus, everything that he did, his heart was in it. He didn't want to just go to the waters of baptism to say, I was baptized, I fulfilled all righteousness. But he wanted to get the blessing out of what he was being asked to do. So he was prayerful. He was praying when he went into the waters of baptism. And that's why the blessing came down. And what is it? It was a junction. He had to enter into his ministry now. So he knew this is a very important junction. You know, I want to be really as close as I can to the one that's given me this commission so that I might not miss what it is that I'm being called to do. Because don't ever forget, friends, that those junctions, if God wants to call you into the next stage in your experience, the next stage in your calling, Satan can sense it as well. And just as much as God will be trying to stir up an expectation inside of you, the devil can sense something's about to take place. So he's going to try to frustrate on the other side. He's going to try to attack. He's going to try to give you a hard time because he knows the blessings on the way, like the prophet says. And the way you overcome and the way you persevere is to be instant in prayer, the way the Bible says. To pray without ceasing. Yeah? Because praying, when you pray like that, there's a power of perseverance that comes upon a person when they're in the spirit of prayer. There's a real quickening something that comes in that allows you to persevere regardless of whatever the opposition, the confusion, things turning upside down inside of your life. The prophet says that day when Moses, when Abraham was sitting in the tent door, yeah, and it was a bad day there for Sarah and she was fussing and all those kind of things. The prophet says, Abraham, he took his chair and he went and sat in the tent door because he could sense inside of himself that Satan's trying to block something here. There's a divine visitation on its way and Satan's trying to block the divine visitation. Satan's trying to put me in a frame of mind, get me caught up in the emotions of the, you know, of mortality. Get me caught up, tangled up in these kind of things. But in this kind of season, I don't need to get my line tangled. Because I can sense a possibility. I can sense there's a potential in this season. So what did he do? He separates himself, gets himself meditating upon the goodness of the Lord. Gets himself in a communion, creates a certain atmosphere inside of his heart. And now here comes Elohim walking down the road. And now comes the blessing. So he could have been robbed of that. It could have just stayed as a potential. But it never stayed as a potential. It became an experience to him. It became a spiritual milestone in his experience. It became something which he could put in his spiritual diary and never forget and testify of a time-tested memorial that he had inside of his experience, something deeper, something further than he had been in before. And it was because he was in the spirit of what he was doing. He could sense that God wanted to do something. And I would really say, let's do that, saints. The prophet says, every person with a ministry, wait upon your ministry. Jesus didn't just enter into his ministry just as normal kind of life. He waited on his ministry. He prayed. He was baptized. He fasted. Separated himself for 40 days. What? He's waiting on his ministry. He realized this is an important junction in my life. This is a key time now. I want to make sure I make the right decision. I want to make sure I've got the correct spiritual discernment because I know the enemy is going to be at work here as well. And Satan came with his full assault against his humanity. He came with the lust of the flesh. Yeah? the lusts of the eye, the pride of life, the threefold temptation. He came and tried to assault him at that time, to short circuit what God was leading him to do and to become at that season. And I guarantee you, the young people, watch out. The devil's on the way to discourage you. The devil's on the way to do this, that, and the other, that you're going to get discouraged and you're going to say, I don't think I'm going to go. I don't think it's going to do me any good. You're going to have some misunderstanding with some other young person, misunderstanding and this and that. Something will go wrong financially. Something will go wrong in your family. Your father won't be happy. Your mother will give you a hard time. It has to be like that. If it wasn't like that, there's no blessing on the way. Because if the devil's not doing his job, if the devil's just sitting back, how can you expect spiritual blessing? But when the devil can sense the potential just as much as you sense the potential, he's going to be doing everything that he possibly can to entangle you, to get you discouraged, to weigh you down with the cares of this life, so that you enter into things not in the spirit of what you're doing. Not that your heart is in the thing that you're doing, but just, I'll go, but I just wish you didn't have such things. And friends, it's very easy to enter into things like that. But you know what the scripture says? Better is the end of the thing than the beginning. That's what the scripture says. That's the real spiritual principle of the word of God. And if you will just have the power of perseverance, and that comes through prayer, that comes through a determination, that comes through putting your heart in the things that you're doing, I guarantee you the end of all these things is going to be a blessing. There'll be a blessing at the end of these things, but we need to wait upon our ministries. We need to really wait upon the Lord in prayer. And then he can quicken his word. He can quicken us in our experience. He can equip us to overcome anything which the enemy is going to do. We'll discern the enemy. We'll know what he does. He's going to be powerless against us. But it really does take us in prayer. There were three times, if you read in the Gospels, that there was a divine response. God spoke from heaven in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all three of those occasions, Jesus either was in prayer or had just finished praying. At his baptism, he's in prayer. While he's being baptized, the voice comes from heaven, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." No, there's nothing like prayer to bring a response from heaven. That your heart is in something, you're in the spirit of what you're doing, you're pouring yourself out in prayer, you've got a commitment to the thing that you're doing. Because you realize this is the things of the Lord. I want to do these things the right way. That brought forth a response. What about at Mount Transfiguration? The Bible says that he separated himself. Jesus went up into a high mountain apart. What for? To pray. That's what he went for. He went to pray. And while he prayed, the cloud came down. He was transfigured in prayer. The voice spoke, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." That was in prayer. Then in John 12, when he was troubled in his soul, and he said, "Now is my heart troubled. What shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour." Then he thought, "No, but unto this hour was I born. Father, glorify your name." Amen. Then the voice spoke from heaven and says, "I've already glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." Amen. Friend, it's prayer that brings a divine response. Not just going through the motions. Not just being there. No. But it's being prayerful when you're there. It's preparing yourself in prayer before you get there. If you want the heavens to open, if you want the voice to speak, if you want something fresh to take place inside of your spiritual experience, there's no way without prayer. It's impossible without prayer. But Satan fights against that, friends. He wants to get us busy in so many other things because he knows the real victory, like I've said many times, isn't Joshua fighting down in the valley. The real victory is Moses in prayer on the mountain. As long as Moses is in the spirit of intercession, they're going to win the victory down there in the valley. It's like that, friends. Without the spirit of prayer, you'll never have a long-lasting victory. You'll never have a fresh testimony. You'll never have a real, long-lasting, virtuous, deeper experience with God until you first get yourself in the spirit of prayer. That you really prepare yourself in prayer. And the moment you start it, you'll find that he will encourage you. He will quicken you. Because that's his desire. To prepare you for a greater blessing. What about times of decision? Who was the model servant in the Bible? Eliezer. Eliezer was a man of prayer. He wouldn't do anything without prayer. That was the greatest attribute we find. Eliezer's humility never even mentions his name. The whole chapter never mentions the name of Eliezer. Yeah, it's the prophet who tells us it was Eliezer. Yeah. And he was a man of prayer. Before he did anything, he would pray. And then he gets to the well at evening time. He knows it's a junction. He can sense inside of himself spiritually. Something important is about to take place. This is a junction in the ministry of my master and his son. This is an important thing to my master. I could sense it, by the way. There was that unction in the commission that he gave unto me. He comes now to the well at evening time. And he has all the damsels coming. What does he do? He prays. He knows, I can't trust in my own ability. I can't trust in my own decision. I can't trust in my own choice here. The consequences are too far reaching in this kind of a time. And friends, when you get to a junction inside of your life, that the decision you're about to make, the choice that you're about to make, has far reaching consequences, you need to be like Eliezer. Yeah. You need to pray. You need to pray and say, Lord, you need to show me a sign. You need to show me. Let the one who comes to the world and puts down the jar down into the well and draws out the water, let her be the one. Let the supernatural take place. Let there be a divine leadership. Let there be a confirmation. Let me know that you are in this decision. And before I know that, Lord, I'm not taking the next step until I know that the one who's commissioned me, you're the one who's leading me in this commission. And friends, surely it's got to be the same as us. And let it be like that with you young people as well. Some are thinking of marriage, some are thinking of this, that, and the other. You want the same one who commissioned you to be in his bride, to be the same one to show you his leadership in that kind of a season. And friends, never just follow the form. Never just be satisfied in the outward act, but be in the spirit of prayer. Until you get yourself in that kind of a place. You know, before Jesus chose his disciples, I showed it once before, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. What was he doing in prayer? He's seeking. He knows it's a junction in the ministry. It's an important season. It's time for things to expand. Time for things to go out. But he knows, I can't just choose this. I'm the Word made flesh, but I've humbled myself. I've taken on the form of a servant. I want to show to my brethren the right way in these kind of seasons. So he goes and spends the whole night in prayer. And then he comes out with a separate me, Barnabas and Paul. You see, the Spirit leads him now to separate those disciples. Friends, there's certain seasons where you need to be so prayerful. You should always be instant in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But there's other junctions that you need to lift it up to another realm. And friends, to the young people, I'd say that this is the season now. Don't leave it any longer. You might have been caught up in your studies. You might have been caught up in this, that, and that. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. All of us have reasons. All of us have genuine, legitimate reasons that we can give as to why we can't pray as much as we should. But I really do believe when there's a divine desire, when there's a deep calling to the deep, you'll make the way. If it means less sleep that you need to take, rising up early in the morning, there's got to be some kind of a sacrifice. Learn it from James 5. What does it say about Elijah? Elijah was a man of like passions. He had the same weaknesses as us. You know, he had his good days and his bad like the rest of us. But he prayed earnestly. Amen. And friends, think of when he prayed earnestly, what took place? Fire came from heaven. The fire came down upon the sacrifice. So you cannot bring down the fire without prayer. He was obedient. He did all the other things as well. It wasn't only prayer. But prayer was the capstone. When he did everything according to the word, and then he offered a prayer, the fire came down in response to his prayer. And then it didn't stop there. What's the next thing that he did? He put his head between his knees and he prayed 7 times. What for? Restoring rain to fall once again. And if you're seeking those restoring showers inside of your experience once again, you're not going to get it any other way. You need to follow Elijah. You need to give yourself over to earnest, to fervent prayer. Because James, when he sums it all up, he says, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It literally means makes great power available. Just one person, one man, Elijah, he made tremendous power available through the power of prayer. Yet he was a man of like passions like you and I. He also had his days he thought of giving up. There was also times when he said, I'm no better than my fathers. You know, Lord, take my life. I'm tired now. I don't want to continue on in these things. But friend, when it came to that season now, when he sensed the potential, when he sensed the possibility at Mount Carmel, he laid aside his humanity and he gave himself over into prayer. And we need to do those kind of things as well. When Jesus went up, like I said, in Mount Transfiguration, he was transformed while he was praying. And friends, there's power of transformation in the message of the hour. But it'll just stay as a potential inside of your life until you get yourself to praying. And when you pray, and then the power of transformation, you receive it inside of your life, you'll find it'll start to have an effect now. Amen. Just as much as Moses when he went up in the mount, and he spent that time in the closet. And he came back, he was transformed. He was shining now with the glory of God. There was a difference inside him. The same as Jesus, he's praying, the glory comes down and he's transfigured. And the glory of God now that was always in him starts to shine forth from him now. Ah, friends, that's really what we desire. That those that are going to sing items at the youth camp, we may have sung items before and they were good. But if you really consecrate yourself unto prayer and seeking the Lord now, to seek a special blessing, a special leadership upon the item that you're going to do, we're going to see you come in front with your face shining with the glory of God. And we're going to say, this isn't the old Moses that we used to know. Something's happened to Moses. Yes, Moses has learned in the closet first, then you come out to your public service. Wait on your ministry first, then you come and you shine forth whatever it is that God has for you. Friend, it's an important principle that. Really important. As we come to a close before prayer, there's never, the prophet says, the conditions for revival. There's never been a true lasting revival that didn't start in prayer. Yeah. He says every revival, he says go and study history. Every revival started off in prayer. And you in your own spiritual life, when you've got low in the spirit, when you've lost the reality, the blessing that you once had, how do you get it back? Hallelujah. My friend, you can listen to 100 messages in a row. It'll help you, but that's not the fullness to bring you back to revival. You've got to pray. Because when God is speaking to you through the word, it's not natural just for God to speak, God to speak, God to speak, and you don't speak. Surely there's got to be a time you go and speak back to him. You go and pour out your heart before the Lord like David did. You go and tell him what you're going through. You go and tell him how much you appreciate, you know, his goodness. You go and tell him that you're sorry that you lost your first love. Friend, it's got to be a two-way something for it to be a true communion. Communion's not just one way. It's got to be like that, friends. Amen. And let's be careful, because I really see a tendency in church. We're getting away from the spirit of prayer. The meetings are too much the word, the word, the word. And there's not enough prayer. Amen. Our friends, it shouldn't be like that. Let our prayer meetings be prayer meetings. Amen. Where people pray in the prayer meeting. Let it be like that. No, and the only way that can be is when you get certain saints in their own closets. Because the victory doesn't start here when we're here. It starts when people get in the spirit of prayer out there. Amen. People come on a Friday night and pray all night and shut themselves in with God. And then you come to the prayer meeting and there's 4 or 5 saints in the spirit of prayer. Friend, that brings a conviction upon people who don't have the spirit of prayer. When you hear somebody and they're pouring themselves out in the spirit before the Lord, and you don't even know what to say in your prayer, how do you feel at that time? You feel the way you're supposed to feel. You feel backslidden. Because that's a reality of where you are. You may be filling your mind up, filling yourself up with the word. But if there's no prayer life, if there's no expression of yourself before the Lord, friend, I doubt the real depth of that work that's taken place inside of your life. Without prayer, it's got to be spirit and truth. The Father seeks such that will worship in spirit and in truth. But we can lean far too much on the one side if we're not careful. And all of our meetings become learning this and learning that and learning the other. And where's the spirit of prayer gone? Amen. Let's not lose the spirit of prayer, saints. Let's not allow it to be like that. Amen. You know, just to finish off here, the prophet says it. The prophet says in What Dost Thou Hear? He says, that's what the church needs is a revival. Yes. To shake it from worldliness and the things of the world. To bring that purity and holiness of God in the hearts of its believers. He says, humility. And when a man, as soon as they don't get a revival, once in a while in their spirits, They become so carnal, so indifferent, till they get self-styled, starchy, self-righteous. We'll still be coming to church. We'll still be listening to the word. Yeah? We'll still be able to tell people a lot of things. But the prophet says we become starchy. We become self-righteous. We can't handle that word in the spirit that the word should have been handled in. Without prayer, without a revival, and a revival only starts with prayer. There's no other way of being revived in your experience without prayer. You've got to plow up the fallow ground. You've got to take that plow when the rain's been coming down upon that once fertile field, and it's become hard, and there's clods now of grass and different things. You try to sow the seed in that field, you're wasting your time. It's never going to bring forth something. Jesus said it's got to be prepared ground. It's got to be good ground to bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You've got to take the plow. It's not easy work. And that's repentance. That's searching yourself. That's seeking the face of God. And you've got to break up that fallow ground. And the prophet said in the Old Testament, come, let us break up the fallow ground, that he may rain righteousness upon us. And you hit those clods and it's not easy. And you've got to go back a few steps sometimes. And you've got to get your oxen going again and break through that something that needs to be broken through. That hardness of something that started to take root inside of your experience that you shouldn't have allowed to take root. Now you've got to uproot those things to get the field back into the condition that it once was. And you try to tell me you can do that without prayer. And I'll tell you, go and show me that in the Bible and show me that in the message of there, because there's you're breaking every shadow type, every example, every quote that I've ever read. It starts in prayer. It starts in seeking the face of God. To say, Lord, I'm tired of this condition. I'm tired of going around this mountain. I'm tired of speaking of past testimonies. I want something fresh. I want something real. I want you to be updated in my experience once again. I want to raise you out of my history. I want to bring you into my present tense once again. And friends, he wants to be the God of present tense. He's the I am. He wants to be real to you when you pray tonight. He wants to commune with you tonight, but the devil doesn't want that. That's why the devil will say, nah, put it off to tomorrow. Never put it off to tomorrow. When he's near, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Seek him. Break through that sound barrier once again, like the prophet says. Break through into that place where you've got elbow room. Where it's just you and the Lord. Where you've broken through that spirit of oppression, that spirit of darkness that pressed you down to try to keep you from rising up into the fullness of heavenly places. No sense. Let's not accept those kind of things. When you call to be a believer, you call to be a soldier. You call to put on the whole armor of God. You call to wrestle against the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. It's close combat. It's hand-to-hand warfare. He's trying to press you down. You're trying to prevail against him. And the great prevailing power is the power of prayer. That's how we'll finish off with our scripture once again, James 5 verse 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That word afflicted means to endure hardship. Remember Paul said to Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's the same word, affliction. It means to endure hardship. It means to suffer physical pain. It means to suffer hardship, troubles, problems, difficulties, evils, or distresses. It can be anything that you're going through. What should be our first recourse according to the word? Not to go and complain to somebody else about what you're going through. Not to go and try to seek human sympathy from somebody else. The first thing the Bible says, are you afflicted? Are you going through hardship? Is there trouble? Is there evil coming against you? The first thing is pray. Why come and ask for counsel if you haven't prayed first? Yeah. The ground's not prepared. The counsel's going to do you no good. Why go and sit down with someone who's ahead of you in the Lord and start speaking to them about what you're going through if you haven't prayed about it first? Yeah. You haven't fulfilled the requirements of the word. The word says if anyone is afflicted, let him pray. That's what the word says. And then if you pray and pray and something doesn't seem to be getting through, then you take the next step. Then you go and confess your sins one to another. Yes. And pray one for another. Or you call for the elders of the church to anoint you, and the prayer of faith shall raise the sick. But you must pray first. Yeah. You call to the battlefield. You need to resist that devil until he flees from you. I can't resist him for you. The prophet says with the gift that we have, we can cast him off, but he's going to be waiting for you out there. You need to overcome him yourself. You need to pray until your foot is on his throat. That you've got him underfoot there. And you know, this enemy, he's not going to trouble me no more. You pray through until the job is done. Don't pray until you just feel a little bit better. That's not enough. Pray until there's a time-tested something takes place. That when you look back, you say, my, that was a critical juncture. Something changed in my experience then. Something changed in my walk. I've never been the same since. You say, where do you get that from? From Jacob and Esau. Before Jacob went to face Esau, he did what he was supposed to do. Is any afflicted? Is any troubled? Is any worried? Let him pray. Amen. Go and shut yourself in your closet first. The battle is won on the mountain. You win the battle in prayer. You don't win the battle down there, Joshua, with the weapons. You win the battle by raising your hands. Jehovah Nissi, that's where you win the battle. Friends, the battle is won in the prayer closet. That's where you win the battle. And friends, if the prayer closet isn't what it's supposed to be, it's impossible for you to be a fully victorious believer. No matter how much you may know all the theology of the message and all the quotes and those kind of things. No, friends. We need to lay in his presence, bathe in the presence of the Son. The prophet says, lay there and let it bathe down. And let the power of transformation that's in the word start to change you as you seek him in that attitude of prayer. That's a real important point. To finish off, he says in desperation, the prophet says here in Luke, it says that he prayed earnestly. Brother, sister, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? If Christ, the God of heaven made flesh, had to pray earnestly, how much more are we, sinners saved by grace, to pray earnestly? But I see it in the lives of people. Somebody will go to somebody, I've got this problem, can you help me? They give them advice. Doesn't seem to work. They go to somebody else, look, I've got this problem, can you give me advice? Somebody gives them advice. It doesn't seem to work. They come to me, can you give me advice? I give them, it doesn't seem to work. The problem's not in the advice. The problem's in prayer. You're not breaking through that problem in prayer. Because that advice can't find ground to bring forth of its own kind. Plow up the ground in prayer. Break up the fallow ground. Break through the resistance, the darkness that's trying to press you down and say it's not possible for these things to work. Friends, with him all things are possible. All things are possible when you're in that kind of a dimension. When you're in communion and fellowship with him. So, three keys to prayer. To pray effectively, fervently. Firstly, you must pray often. Yes, sir. If you're just praying once a week, what good does it do? Can you just eat once a week and think you're going to be strong? You've got to pray often. If you want to be in the spirit of prayer, if you want to overcome, you've got to build yourself up in prayer. You're never going to pray the prayer of faith the first time you pray if you've been out of prayer. To get in the spirit of prayer, you've got to pray often. Because your mind is going to be confused at first. So many distractions, so many things of the flesh are going to weigh you down. You've got to keep coming back. You've got to keep being perseverant. And each time you're praying that earnest prayer, you're moving something. Something's, you're resisting something. Something's moving. Something's giving way. And then finally, if you keep praying like that, you break through to where you're supposed to do. The second thing, if you want to pray effectively, you need to be in the spirit of prayer. Amen. Yeah, the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But his spirit, he anoints us. His unction is what gives us power in prayer. That brings us to the third one. If you want to pray effectively, you've got to have a clean heart before God. Amen. You've got to have a clean heart. If you've got sin inside of your life, you'll never get in the spirit of prayer. You may get emotional, but you'll never get in the spirit of prayer. And a double-minded man never can receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says it's the effectual fervent prayer of a what? Of a righteous man. Somebody who has a right standing before God. So as we come to pray, search your life. Is there anything you need to put under the blood? Do you have a bad attitude? Do you have a critical spirit? Do you have unconfessed sins? Do you harbor things against other people? My friend, you need to start praying against those things. And then you need to start acting upon the things that you need to make right. You need to start uprooting those things from your experience.
Amen.
And then you will find that quickening power will come. That He will start to give you the quickening power, that you will start to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. You will now start to pray in the Spirit, and He will start to lead you to pray according to the will of God. It's got to be like that, friends. Let's make sure we've got a pure heart. Let's make sure that we're coming as righteous people before the Lord. Let's put everything under the blood. Let's come with all of our hearts as we pray. And today's just the starting point to those people that are backslidden in prayer. Let it be the starting point. When others pray, seek Him with all your heart. But don't let it finish there. When you've got a bed, kneel down next to your bed. Even if it's not even a long prayer, it doesn't have to be long. If it's a fervent prayer, if it's a hearty prayer from the depth of your soul, He will respond, and you will start to rise up once again as you wait upon the Lord in that kind of a realm. Let's stand, saints. Let's ask the musicians to come. Let's sing one song. Let's sing that one, a pure heart. That's what I long for. And then let's come to a time of prayer. What should we be praying for this evening? We should be praying for outreach tomorrow in Carlo.
Amen.
Yeah? Getting out on the streets once again. There's good things taking place there. We thank the Lord. There's good potential. There's possibility down there. But let's make sure through prayer that that potential, that possibility becomes a reality, that His will can be done. Let's pray for the youth meetings next week. Great potential, great possibility. Let's pray that let's pray like Elijah to bring the showers down, to bring the rain down. And let's pray for our prayer meetings as well. Let's pray that we get really in the spirit of prayer, that the Lord will really help us to get back to where we should be in prayer. May the Lord help us as we pray.
You are, that's what I long for. A heart that follows on after Thee. A pure heart, a pure heart. That's what I'm longing for, my Lord. A heart that follows on after Thee. Oh, a heart that eyes the Word. A heart that eyes the Word. So that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided. One Word. And reign a heart that beats compassion, that pleases You, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises from You. Oh, a pure heart, a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for, my Jesus. A heart that follows on after Thee. Oh, I want a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for, my Lord. A heart that follows on after Thee. Oh, a heart that hides the Word. A heart that hides the Word. So that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided. One You and when. A heart that beats compassion, that pleases You, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises from You. A sweet aroma of worship. A sweet aroma of worship that rises from God's
throne. Let's come to pray, saints. Let's seek Him. He is faithful. He so much desires to minister to us in prayer. Let's come before Him. Let's call upon His name. Let's pour out our hearts before the Lord. Let's all pray. Oh, Father, how we thank You, Lord, upon this night that You've given us grace. song as we come to a close. Let's sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care. And then could we ask Brother Lubanza, would you be kind enough to pray for us at the end, Brad? If you'd be kind enough, Brad, just to close in a word of prayer for us. We'd be grateful, Brad. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. May the Lord be with you until Sunday. Amen. Let's keep these things in prayer. Whatever Amen. The Lord's laid upon your heart, saints, let's keep bringing it before the Lord in His presence.
Sweet, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of
reconnaissant ce soir pour nous avoir accordé le privilège de nous incliner devant ta face.
Amen.
Ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, dans cette heure de prière, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, nous savons une chose, que la prière, c'est le souffle de vie, c'est la respiration d'un chrétien. Seigneur notre Dieu, comme nous l'avons vu, Seigneur, ô Dieu, aujourd'hui, tu restais, Seigneur, en prière pour rester en connexion avec l'Esprit de Dieu qui était en toi. Seigneur Jésus, l'Esprit était déjà en toi. Tu pouvais dire, je n'en ai pas besoin, je n'ai pas besoin de la prière parce que l'Esprit est déjà là. Mais tu n'as pas fait ça, Seigneur Jésus. Tu savais qu'il fallait, pour que tu accomplisses quoi que ce soit de spirituel, il fallait que tu sois en connexion avec l'Esprit de Dieu, qui était déjà en toi, Seigneur. C'est pourquoi tu avais besoin de la prière. Et tu nous as enseigné ce soir la même chose, Père Céleste. Ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père Céleste, éternel de des armées, nous te sommes reconnaissants ce soir, Père, pour ta présence, Seigneur Jésus, que tu viens, Seigneur, encore une fois, de faire descendre parmi nous, Seigneur Jésus. Tu as montré encore une fois, Père, que nous sommes ton peuple. Parce que, Seigneur, tu as exaucé notre prière. Et nous voyons, Seigneur, que tu es fidèle. Tu as dit que si nous prions, Père, ta présence sera avec nous. Ton esprit descendra, Père. Et nous pouvons sentir chacun de nous dans son cœur, Père, que toi tu es ici, Seigneur Jésus. Lord Jesus, we can believe and we can sense your presence in every one of us. This proves, Lord, that you are true. You are faithful. You told us, Lord, that when we pray, your presence will come down. Your spirit will come down. We can feel it in our souls that you are here, Lord. We are going out of this place. Amen. Believing that the Holy Spirit has spoken to every one of us. Thank you, Lord, once again for this spirit of prayer, Lord. We pray that you keep us in prayer, Spirit. Let the Spirit never leave us again. We want to stay, Lord. Be prayerful, church. Let us pray every time, every second, every moment. Lord, let the prayer be our breath, Lord. Let, Lord, oh God, let every one of us trust in prayer, Lord. As the prophet said, prayer is the greatest weapon that God ever put in the hands of human beings. And that's true, Lord. We can see it, Lord. Every time the prophet was praying for the sick, you answered. You granted his prayer, Lord. We believe that if we can do the same thing, you'll grant our prayer, Lord. You'll grant our request. We, one day, Lord, Anna, Lord, she didn't have children, Lord. And they were despising her. They were mocking her, Lord. But she understood the secret of prayer. She went to the temple. She didn't quarrel. She didn't fast. But she knew what to do. She said, I have to go to the temple and confine myself into the Lord through prayer. And when she was praying, she got such in prayer in the spirit that Eli thought she was drunk because she was so taken into spirit of prayer. That was very difficult for the priest to see that this woman was caught up in the spirit of prayer. And Lord, you came down. You didn't only give her a son, but you gave her a prophet. And we believe that every time we come before thee in prayer in the same spirit, you won't give us only what we pray. Yeah. You'll give us more than what we expect.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why, Lord, we want, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let this sermon that we heard tonight not depart from us.
Please, Lord.
Don't let it, Lord, to be just another good preaching.
No, Lord.
As we usually do.
Please, Lord.
Don't let this to be a habit that we heard a nice sermon. But let this be a practical sermon in our life.
Amen.
Let us build on the stone, on the rock, as Jesus said. Anyone who hear my word and do it, practice it, put it in practice, is like a wise man who has built his house upon a rock. Let us build our experience, our spiritual life, on a rock. Let us put into practice prayer.
Please, Lord.
As the prophet put it, Even if I don't feel like,
amen,
let me pray.
Amen.
Because we are priests.
Yes.
We have been made a kingdom of priests.
Hallelujah.
We are spiritual kingdom,
yes, Lord,
of priests, Lord.
Amen.
And he said, we pray even when we don't feel like.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
We testify even when we don't,
amen,
feel like.
Amen.
We know that the devil will fight us.
Amen.
He will make us be feel lazy.
Yes, Lord.
And he would like to keep us in bread, in the bed, so that we won't pray. We'll,
amen,
feel like not praying. But being the priest,
amen,
a kingdom of priesthood, let us pray.
Amen.
Make sacrifices.
Amen.
The fruit of our lips.
Hallelujah.
Giving praise to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Feel it or not,
amen,
let us pray.
Amen.
We'll follow the leading,
amen,
of our heart,
yes, Lord,
of our soul,
yes, Lord,
not of our intellect.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For granting our prayers.
Amen.
We're leaving this place.
Amen.
With great faith.
Amen.
That God has given to us.
Amen.
Every request,
yes,
we have asked for.
Yes, Father.
Let us go out of this place testifying,
amen,
that, amen, a revival has started.
Amen. Amen.
A revival has started.
Amen.
Down,
amen,
in our souls.
Hallelujah. Thank
a revival
you,
of prayer life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We believe that you are,
amen,
with us.
Amen, Lord. Yes,
bless,
Lord,
once again our pastor.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Brother Andrew and,
amen,
his family.
Amen.
Bless his ministry, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And bless all the office in this,
amen,
church.
Amen.
The believers.
Amen.
As we prepare ourselves for the youth meeting.
Amen.
And the Sunday meeting.
Amen.
We believe,
hallelujah,
that you'll meet us.
Hallelujah.
Because without you,
yes, amen,
all these meetings are in vain.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
But there'll be something if you are there.
Amen.
If you meet us there.
Please, Lord.
That's,
thank you, Lord,
why we want to pray and consecrate ourselves.
Please, Lord.
That day,
yes,
your presence will come down.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, as we go,
amen,
out of this place. Accompany us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Be with every one of us.
Amen.
Keep us on our roads. And tomorrow, in Carlo.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bring a revival there, Lord.
Amen.
Bring a lot of souls to you, Lord.
Amen.
For your glory, Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Hallelujah. Thank
be
you,
with
Lord,
us till we meet again.
Thank you, Lord.
On Sunday.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's dismiss. Let's sing the last two verses of that same song, Sweet Our Prayer. Let's dismiss as we sing. May the Lord be with you. Thank you so much for the prayer, brother. God bless you richly. Until Sunday. Amen.
Oh.